next on BYUSN. Hey, it's fantasy football season, and today we're drafting our specific BYU football 2024 fantasy teams. Well, you decide with us which is better. Plus, if you were drafting a BYU fantasy team, who would you take with your number one overall pick?
Former BYU and NFL linebacker Brian Keel will join us to discuss where he thinks BYU's defense will improve the most in year two under Jay Hill. And it's a big night. Number three, BYU women's soccer playing number 19, Wisconsin, in a top 20 showdown at South Field. How much will tonight's game impact expectations for this season?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, August 15th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who is a renowned fall wedding planner, Jason Shepard.
Wasn't it McConaughey and J-Lo,
J-Lo
in the wedding planner?
Yes. Did you like that movie?
I remember seeing it. Beyond that, I don't really remember too much.
Rom-com breakdown later with Jason Shepard.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts, by the way? And this was on social media, because all good ideas start on social media, right? Apparently, the Knot reports that Saturday, October 12th is one of the five most popular wedding dates in 2024. Then they went and looked at the college football schedule on that day.
Yep.
And look at some of the games that are actually being played. What's your take on Saturday weddings in the fall?
Listen, we live in a world where you have TVs in your pocket and we have AirPods. There are ways to consume football while you're at a wedding. You can figure it out.
It better not be your own wedding, though.
I don't know why people are making such a huge deal about this. I know you want to sit down in front of your TV and not do anything the rest of the day. Yeah, that's ideal as a football fan on that specific date. Amazing college football games across the board, including Arizona at BYU that night. But if you have to attend a wedding on a Saturday in the fall, it's not what it used to be. It's not like you can't somehow engage because you can have a tablet and a phone and be listening on the radio or watching it and sneaking glances. Like, there are ways to do this, Jason.
Yes, and honestly, I took this more about getting married on a Saturday in the fall versus actually attending. Attending is a little different because of the reasons, but scheduling your wedding, look, there is a reason summer was invented.
Yes.
It's for vacations and weddings. I am a June wedding.
Sure, I'm a May wedding.
Okay, so you just want to limit the distractions,
yes,
right?
For sure.
Yes.
That's a different conversation.
And sort of set the tone.
Yes. If you are planning your own wedding,
yes,
absolutely, you cannot do it in the fall.
Yes.
But if you were just attending a friend's wedding, whatever.
I also think my friends would know that he's probably not going to be here. Now, I literally couldn't be there because I work, but still, you know, you get the point.
Ladies and gentlemen, your fall wedding planner, Jason Shepard.
That's right. Me, McConaughey, and J-Lo.
On that note, all rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Everybody's balling. Everybody's doing their part.
It's really exciting to watch what they all bring to the table.
The solidarity in the wide receiver room, that continuity, that is a great boost for BYU's offense.
Love is in the air for football. Are you engaged to the upcoming season for BYU football? And do you want to marry the potential results, Jason? The puns are endless.
Yes.
What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Okay, we are stepping a little bit outside of the normal presentation here on our show, which is we go with just straight up what's trending, because we wanted to make our own trending topic today.
Okay.
It is fantasy football season, and so we are stepping into that realm with the 2024 BYU football roster. So, for what's trending today, Jason, we are going to draft six players each from the current roster. One quarterback, one running back, two wide receivers, one tight end, and one flex player. The flex player can be a running back, wide receiver, or a tight end. Okay, so after we draft our teams of six, then we will compare and we will argue.
Yes.
And we'll have the fans help us argue.
Yes.
Who drafted the better BYU fantasy football team. So, based on a very scientific, predetermined, well thought out, not completely random process in advance of today's draft. Jason will be picking first, and then we will alternate picks. So, Jason, one, are you ready for the 2024 BYU football fantasy draft on BYU Sports Nation?
I'm going to need to take all 15 minutes on the clock. I'll be back. No. Yeah, do we have programming that can fill? No. With the first pick in the 2020, I'm not going to start with every pick. I am going to take out of the gate, I'm taking LJ Martin.
Oh, you're going running back.
I'm going running back.
You could have taken a quarterback.
I know I could have. I'm taking LJ Martin.
Wow.
Being able to see him back at practice the other day, we saw the highlights. I want to see him. We know what the depth looks like.
Yeah.
But we saw last year, all of these teams have the one go-to running back. I think LJ can be that guy.
Okay.
So I'm going with LJ Martin.
Well, this is a little bit of a risk because he is coming off an injury, but
he was cleared
for contact.
Yep.
He's back. He looks really good, strong, fast.
Yep. Okay.
Jason goes with a running back at number one. I thought for sure you wouldn't take a quarterback at that first pick. This has totally flipped my draft on its head.
Okay.
That's the beauty of this.
Yes.
With my first pick in the 2024 BYU Sports Nation Fantasy Football Draft, I am now taking a quarterback, and I am taking the dual threat Gary Bohannon as my number one overall pick. Give me Gary. I don't even know if he's going to start. I think that he's going to play a lot, and I think he's going to do a lot of damage and score a lot of fantasy football points for this team with his arm and certainly his legs, Jason. He is my number one pick. I think he's going to get the nod over Jake Retzlaff. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Then I get burned for my first pick. But Gary Bohannon is who I am selecting at that number one spot on my team.
Okay. All right. With my second pick, I will be taking wide receiver Chase Roberts.
Ooh. Okay. You like the range from Chase, his catch radius? He's got bigger and stronger.
I have extremely high hopes for the entire receiving corps. I love this collection of receivers. Chase Roberts has the combination of the skill, the speed, the height, the go-get-it ability. I know that's not a word, but we've seen some unbelievable catches from a lot of different receivers. I love the ability of Chase Roberts. He is my second selection.
You have two bona fide stars in your first two picks.
That's how I roll.
I am going to take, because I think this will be a committee approach for BYU at the running back position, especially early. He could win me some games early in the season in weeks one and two if LJ Martin is not playing as much as he will later in the season. And I'm going to go with Hinkley Rapati.
Okay.
So I go quarterback, running back. You go running back, wide receiver. Hinkley Rapati is my number two pick, and he is my lead running back in my room. I know there's a lot of question marks about if he's truly back, if his knee is fully healthy. But listen, I got to go with what the coaches are telling me, what Harvey Ewing is telling me, and that is Hinkley is a bowling ball. He's fast, he's shifty, and he's really good out of the backfield catching the ball. He's one of those, can you call it a dual threat running back, a pass catcher, and he's good with his legs? I don't know that that's a thing, but he just brings that element. His pass-catching ability out of the backfield is really strong. So I like that. And if we're in a points-per-reception league, he's going to dominate.
Yeah, and I like the point that you brought up in terms of the catching out of the backfield. That's something that he was talking to me about after practice earlier in the week. And I think that's something that I think you could see a lot of the running backs be able to do and maybe becomes a little bit more of a weapon than what we've seen to a degree over the last couple of years.
Okay,
so all right, with my third selection, I will be going to the tight end position.
Okay, here we go.
I will be selecting one Keanu Hill.
Okay. Red zone target.
See, here's the beauty. There was two quarterbacks to take. I can go ahead and get everybody else and take my quarterback last.
You certainly can do that.
I'm taking Keanu Hill as my tight end. I think we know what type of skill set he has as a receiver. Now that he's a little bit bigger and they're going to use him as a tight end, you sort of get the best of both worlds with a bigger body, but also with the nimbleness of a wide receiver. And he still probably has that wide receiver mindset.
Okay.
So I think this could be a big, big season for Keanu Hill.
I need a receiver in my room. And there is one guy that made more spectacular catches than the rest last season. And it was Darius Lassiter. He is the senior leader, veteran in that room. He was granted an extra year of eligibility, thankfully, after there was a rumor out there that he might not be able to come back because of a weird JUCO stipulation. He played in one game, but thankfully the NCAA woke up and they gave it to him. I think Darius Lassiter and his big playmaking ability, his ability to go up and get a ball, find the end zone, is a big-time playmaker for my team. Give me Darius Lassiter as my wide receiver one on my team.
Okay, with my next selection, I am going back to the wide receiver, and I will be taking Cody Epps.
Ooh, you think Cody after a quiet season is
I know you were out earlier in the week. I said on offense, Cody was my most underappreciated player. And I think because, unfortunately, of the injury history, sometimes he is not top of mind because he's missed some games. His ability at the wide receiver position is not questioned. So for me, I'm counting on a healthy season, and I love what he brings to the table. So I am going with Cody Epps.
Okay, let's just stay with the wide receiver theme. With my fourth pick, give me a guy who scored three touchdowns, not catching the ball last year, but all running the ball. And he's a kickoff return specialist as well. Super speedy. Keelan Marion is due for a breakout season. I want Keelan Marion to join Darius Lassiter as my top two receivers in my room. I think his speed is going to be a problem for defenses. I don't think people really got to understand how dynamic Keelan can be. And listen, this is a guy, Yefesi Satake said, when we first saw him and we found out that he was joining BYU, it's hard to explain how excited we were. We believe he is an NFL type receiver. Yeah. He has the skill set, the speed, the route running, certainly needs some coaching, but he's gotten that. I think he's due for a breakout year. He's going to score more touchdowns with his legs on that jet sweep and different handoff combinations that they can get to him with the ball, but he's also going to catch some touchdowns as well. Keelan Marion is my guy.
Okay, I'm going to go with my flex position here.
Okay.
And with my fifth pick, I will be taking Miles Davis.
Okay. I love Miles.
Look, and I saw, you know, we were able to see Miles at the end of practices when media is allowed to watch practice. He looks so fit. He looks so good. And I like the ability for him, and we're seeing him catch the ball. It kind of goes back to that point. I love what he can bring. And we know, even if BYU has that one go-to back, the other guys are going to get carries as well. So I'm going to go with Miles Davis as my flex.
Three running backs off the board. Jason has two of them, and you have chosen Miles as your flex guy. Now, with my fifth pick, I think people don't understand how good this dude is, and he produced last year. I think he's another guy that's really going to be heavily involved and is underrated. He's fast, super talented, great hands. Parker Kingston is my guy at the flex position. He's a dude that you could also put back, if you wanted to, as a kickoff returner, as a punt returner. Super reliable hands, and he just makes plays. He's got a nose for the end zone, Jason. We saw it against Arkansas. I think Parker's a better version of himself. He's improved a lot this offseason. He's worked really hard. I dare you to find me somebody that has worked as hard as Parker did in his own time in the offseason. He's put on a ton of muscle. He's really lean, still fast. He's my guy in the flex position.
Okay, this should be no surprise because I have one pick left and I have not picked my quarterback. I will take very happily Jake Retzlaff.
Okay.
We saw what Jake was able to do last year, and we know that between the two, he is the one that has more reps in this offense.
Jason, I watched highlights of his against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State over the weekend. He's really good.
Yes. And look, it was one bad throw. that changed that game.
He's really good at the read option.
Absolutely. And I'm like you. I think the ground game with the quarterback position is going to play a role in the rushing yards this year. I think we will see more of that than we have for a season or so. So I will happily take Jake Retzlaff as my quarterback.
Okay. And with my final pick at the tight end position, I think he was the spring football MVP. And he's a guy that's getting more attention in BYU football fall camp. My dude, the Laguna kid, Reiner Swanson at tight end. Between Keanu Hill and Reiner Swanson, there's some nice pass-catching options for BYU quarterbacks, whoever the quarterback is, throwing in the red zone. Reiner's going to be a star. Star for BYU.
Look at that hair.
I know.
It's amazing.
He's going to play 1 year. He's going to serve a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints after that. But you know what? I think it's going to be like the Austin Collie effect, where Austin played a year and then went on a mission. I think Reiner could be as productive as a guy like Austin was when Austin was a freshman. Right. He's really good.
Let's refresh then. Let's look at our entire teams.
Okay.
So I will start with my team. At quarterback, Jake Retzlaff.
Okay.
Running back is L.J. Martin. Wide receivers, Chase Roberts and Cody Epps. My tight end is Keanu Hill. And my flex player is Miles Davis.
So here's the thing that I like about your team. There's a lot of star power in there, but you do have several question marks.
Injuries
is a theme for
yes,
your
I get
team.
It. It is a risk, but it's high risk, high reward.
Okay. Because LJ's coming off an injury. Even Keanu was banged up last year.
And Cody.
Miles Davis.
Yes,
Cody,
I get it.
Your team, there's risk of their star power and name value.
Those are my guys
value.
I'm rolling with.
Okay. Well, it's not like I don't have question marks on my team either. Notably, my first pick overall, which was Gary Bohannon. Is his shoulder truly back in 100%? He got stem cell treatment. He said he's felt like a brand new person ever since. Feels great. Can he get back to what he was in 2021 as Baylor's starting quarterback? Hinkley Rapati, also coming off a season-ending injury. Is he truly back at 100% as my RB1? I don't have questions about my receivers, though, Jason. I think they're all good. They played a lot of football last year, and they're all back. Lassiter, Marion, Kingston. I think that wide receiver trio is outstanding and productive, and they can do a lot of different things. Those guys can be productive with their feet and catching passes.
And one of the things last year that they talked about and we heard from the coaches is there was still some indecision on where am I supposed to be and what's, you know, there was some of that stuff. Now year two in this offense, that should bode well. I'm telling you, I love this receiving core. I love them.
All right, our question of the day. If you were drafting a BYU fantasy football team in 2024 on this year's roster, who would be your number one overall pick? At BPDub21 on X, agrees with Jason. Assuming he's healthy, I think LJ Martin will lead the team in rushes, rushing yards, and touchdowns. Roberts and Lassiter are good, but I doubt either has over 600 yards on the season since BYU spreads the ball around. A lot of options.
Yes, a lot of options.
There is that. So who's the golden, I mean, like the golden calf or whatever. Like who's the bell cow that you're going to on a regular basis? Is it LJ Martin?
I would think so. I would think if everyone is healthy, that's the guy that gets the bulk. I would think that's the case. Now that will certainly, health will play a major factor in that. And then we will see what the production looks like. But I believe if all things are equal and everybody is healthy, I think LJ Martin is the one that gets the bulk of the carries.
Perhaps golden calf was not the right term.
No.
Not on this show.
Most definitely. In fact, it was probably the worst thing you could have said.
Are we going to dance around the golden calf?
No, we are not.
Bell cow more like.
You know how that turned out.
At Rhino Saraz on X says Gary Bohannon, dual threat quarterback. That's the thing. If Gary is the guy, he's going to score a lot of points because of his capability to run the ball.
Yeah.
If he's even 80% of what he was at Baylor.
At Baylor.
BYU's going to be a bowl team, assuming he's the starter.
Yeah.
I am buying that clearly. as I made him my number one pick in the fantasy football draft. Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation.
All right, it's the season opener for number 3 BYU women's soccer tonight as Jen Rockwood's squad hosts number 19 Wisconsin at South Field. You can check out all the action tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN+.
After the break, no more golden calves. But we do have a former NFL and BYU linebacker great. Brian Keel joins us to discuss where he expects BYU's defense to improve the most. Is he buying year 2 of Jay Hill? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is sponsored by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Playing a lot faster than we was last year. I feel like everybody knows the scheme now.
We have a solid defense. Anybody can go in. Anybody can make plays.
Jack's a great ball player. He's showing me nothing but leadership.
I think linebacker is one of the deepest positions we have.
Welcome back to Studio B for your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up alongside the fabulous Jason Shepherd. We are that much closer to football season, and I can't think of a better guest to have on the show to get us ready for Cougar kickoff in 2024 than the great Brian Keel, former NFL and BYU linebacker standout. Brian, welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. What's this time of year like for you emotionally?
Oh, it's hard. It's hard. It's so exciting. I get so excited. I'm so excited for football, and I miss it so much. And this time of year, it just stirs all these feelings, this nostalgia, like my body's like, hey, it's football season. It's time to get ready. And then, oh, I don't play anymore. So I'm sad that way, but I'm excited. I love watching it. It's the best time of year. It really is.
There's been a lot made of outside expectations and what they feel BYU will do this season. What are your expectations for BYU football this year?
So I would love to have higher expectations than I do. I'm a realist. I understand where our team is. I understand how difficult our schedule is, how difficult the conference is, and where we were a year ago. And so, you know, I expect us to compete. I expect us to win more games than we did last year. We're not going to set the world on fire and run the table. That could happen. I don't expect it to happen, but I expect us to improve and take a step forward from where we were last year. Those are my expectations.
Brian Keel, former BYU and NFL linebacker, breaking it down on BYU Sports Nation. You said that you expect BYU to win more games than they did last year. Is there a number you're set on, at least so that you can say BYU took a legitimate step forward? If so, what is that number of wins this year?
I don't have a number in my mind. So, one more would be technically a step forward. I hope we improve more than that. But I look back, historically, I can look back from experience when I was there, and there were some poor seasons followed by better seasons. And it's just doing the little things every day in the off season and improving. And then also having a mindset and a culture of winning. And then that leads to vast improvement on the field. And you just look at last year, there were games that we lost that we should have won. There's off the top of my head, there's 3 games that we lost that if we don't turn the ball over, if we don't turn the ball over on the 1 yard line, little simple things, we win those games. So it's this year, it's fixing those little things. And all of a sudden, you're 7-8 wins just by fixing those little things.
You've used the word improvement a couple of times. Where do you expect to see the biggest improvement in this team this year versus last year?
So I think defensively, I would expect it in understanding the defense and being comfortable in the schemes and the mentality. And I thought we took a step forward last year and was pleased to see progress in certain aspects. And I expect us to take another big step forward this year. Anytime you install a new scheme, there's a philosophy that needs to be learned. And it takes reps. It takes experience. It takes practice. So when you have guys coming back, which we do, and they've had now reps under their belt, games under their belt, so they'll be able to understand where they're supposed to be, what their role is in the defense, So that should be improved. And then those same things on offense. When you have guys coming back, which fortunately we do have a decent number of guys coming back, there's nothing like live bullets. And having that experience, it gives you all the benefit to improve.
Brian, who's the guy on this team? And maybe it's a defender, maybe it's somebody on the opposite side of the ball, but who's the guy that has you most excited about BYU and somebody that could help this team turn a corner this season?
That's a good question. I think, I'll go away from defense, unbiased here, to the offense. I think there's a couple guys on offense that really flashed, and one of them's running back, Martin. Came in and just flashed excellence last year as just such a young kid. And so going back to what we just talked about, you know, you expect a guy like that who already showed flashes of brilliance now with a season under the belt to just be that much more improved. And then at receiver, Chase Roberts, so much talent, so much size and ability. I expect him to, again, take another big step forward and just be that much harder to cover, understand his stems and all just the nuances of receiver. I know he's worked with Austin. I know he's worked with some of the other former players to just fine tune the game. And I expect, exciting things out of both those guys.
Even though you were on the defensive side, everyone knows the importance of the quarterback position. When you're at this point of fall camp, how important is it for the team to know who the starting quarterback is? If there's a battle, obviously some years you go in and you obviously know, but how important is it for the team themselves, with the caveat that just because something has not been made public doesn't mean those within the program don't already know who the quarterback is. But from a team standpoint, how important is it to know that that position is set?
I think that there's more put into that than the actual team cares about it, in terms of media, fans, external factors. To say that it doesn't matter wouldn't be true. It does matter, but, and you started that question with, as a defensive guy, defensively it really doesn't matter that much, because you have your job and you trust and rely on the rest of your team to do their job. And so defensively, your job is to go out there and get stops, and your job is to get the ball back and give it to your offense. And then you hope that they do something with it, but that's not your job or your concern. Your concern as a defensive player is to go get stops. And so if I was on the team right now, which I'm not, but if I was on the team on defense, that would be my mindset. I don't care what happens over there. That's their job. That's not my concern. My concern is to go out there and get stops and to minimize points scored. And that would be my mindset. Hopefully that is the team's mindset. Offensively, there is a little bit more concern, especially for the receivers, because there's some continuity, some understanding that goes into that. And kind of like you alluded, and maybe those guys know more than the rest of us.
Brian Keel is on BYU Sports Nation. All right, let's talk linebacker specifically, because Ben Bywater, sadly, done for the foreseeable future. It appears that he's done with football altogether. We'll see if his shoulder eventually repairs and he tries to make something happen in the professional ranks, but it looks like it's done. In steps Jack Kelly, who has gotten a lot of notoriety and attention coming over from Weber State. He knows Jay Hill's defense. He fits right in. But how do you see the linebacker room without Ben Bywater this year being impacted, Brian?
Yeah, so it's a big loss. I met Ben's dad years ago, before he got to the program. And so it's been fun to kind of watch him and see his progress. And just to see the caliber of a player he's been. He's been a great player, and I hope things work out for him. I hope he gets healthy. And you hate to see a promising opportunity and future get derailed by injuries. So that's unfortunate. With other linebackers that are there, the way I look at it, but before we started, we were chatting kind of about this, about football is about opportunities, and sometimes guys get hurt and that opens opportunities for other players. And I say sometimes, more accurately, a lot of times, football is a dangerous, violent sport. The injury rate is extremely high. And so when that happens, and it does, then it's on the other guys to step up and you're given an opportunity that you otherwise wouldn't have. So you just take that and run with it. So that's what I hope and expect out of those guys is to rise up and fill that void. And it is a big void. There's a big hole there in playmaking and leadership and experience. And, you know, I said this a moment ago, I'll say it again. Like, if I was a guy on the team, if I was a guy in that linebacker room, I would be excited. I'd be disappointed for Ben and for the defense, but I'd be excited for the opportunity that creates for me personally to go show what I could do. And I hope that the rest of those linebackers that's their mindset is like, oh, this is an opportunity. We're gonna fill that void.
All right, Brian, I am going to put you on the team right now. In fact, I'm going to put you on the team last year as well. So my question is this, and we realize every year there's going to be differences, certainly. But in general, if you were on the team last year, the first year in the Big 12, how much more confident would you be in yourself just with the fact that you had already been through one season in the Big 12? You know what to expect. How much as a player should that help the players that were there last year going into this year, knowing what to expect in this conference?
Yeah, so it helps a lot. So I'll compare it to this. Like every football player, you have a certain amount of confidence, and some guys have more, which is great. Confidence is huge. It is essential, especially depending on what position you play. You play corner, you need confidence. So it's critical. And me personally, like I was a confident guy. There is always moments of doubt. So when you go from high school to college, there's a little bit, you believe in yourself, I believe in myself, but there's a little bit of wonder, like, can I play at this level? And then you go out there and like that first practice and you're making plays. And then there's kind of like this realization, like, yeah, I can, this is no problem, I belong. So same thing for me, like when I went from college to the NFL, I was confident, I believed in myself, but there's always that little bit of wonder, like, do I belong here? And then you go out, you take those first reps, you take that first practice, and you make plays, you're in the mix, and that confidence just increases, and you feel like you belong. So I'll take that same principle and apply it here to your question with being in the Big 12. Those guys, they were in the trenches last year, and the record wasn't as good as it could have been. But we competed in a lot of games. We went toe-to-toe with some big teams. And so that's what I would think from the guys that played last year and that were there, and then other guys too that watched it, is that same realization where you believe that you belong, and then you increase that confidence. And this next year, it's hit the ground running.
All right, Brian, I know that you're a fan. Your good friend Austin Colley pointed out, man, you'd want to talk about great former players that rival their equal fandom. Brian Kill is like a perfect combination of those things. So with that in mind, what's the one bit of hype about BYU football? Maybe it's a new coach. It's TJ Woods on the offensive line. Maybe it's more depth in the secondary than ever before. Maybe it's the emergence of Gary Bohannon in the quarterback competition. Just something. What's the one bit of hype that you are absolutely buying about this BYU football team right now?
We'll go with the bias this time. I'll take the defensive hype that, you know, this is year two. We understand the system. We got this experience, secondary, the things that you just talked about. I'll buy into that hype and, you know, put on my blue tinted goggles, BYU fan, like, yeah, that hype is real. There's going to be improvement on that side of the ball. We're going to get more sacks. We're going to get more interceptions, more turnovers, more stops. You know, it's just going to be mayhem and excitement. So I'll buy into that hype a little bit.
Let's
love
go.
It. I love it.
Brian, great to catch up with you, man. Be well. And, hey, let's watch some BYU football, shall we?
It's that time of year, man. Can't beat it.
Let's go. The great Brian Kiel on BYU Brian. Sports Nation once again. Linebacker extraordinaire. You were joking about putting him back on the roster.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have Brian Kiel on the roster.
He looks like he could still go out and be on the roster. Can I tell you a quick funny story about him? Just to let you know how good of a guy this is, okay? So we recorded during the summer an episode of the Deep Blue podcast. So about an hour long. Split the whole hour. At the end of the episode, I'm, you know, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. He's like, hey, just so you know, I don't know, but I had this echo in my ear, and I'm like, for the whole hour? Never said a word. Never stumbled. I'm like, you could have told me, we could have fixed that. that goes to show just how great of a guy he was. For an hour,
wow.
He was hearing himself back to him when he would talk. Never said a word. That's how good of a guy he is.
Listen, when things get difficult, he just figures it out.
You just figure it out and you deal with it.
He pushes through.
He is a trooper. All right. Stuff. If you miss any interviews, shows, or games, you can find them on BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app to get all the BYU TV sports content on demand.
Hey, it's game night for BYU women's soccer. How will the season opener and what happens there impact our expectations for the entire season? And is a college football version of the NIT in the works? What? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepherd. It's time for our daily BYU football trivia question. We celebrate the 100th season of BYU football. I've liked this over the past few weeks.
Dave and I did okay over the last couple of days.
You did okay. Did you do as well as we have done together?
About 50%. Okay. So it's about right.
Pretty close. Yeah. I'm still going to give us the edge.
Yeah. 60% of the time, we get 50% right.
You know. Colton, how are you planning to attempt to stump us today?
Well, we'll see how stump-worthy this question is, but here it is. Based on the current conference alignment, as of today, which Power 4 conference does BYU have the best winning percentage against all time?
Whoa! Best winning percentage against all time with the current conference alignment. So that includes Texas and Oklahoma, which after last year, so BYU was 4-1 all time against Texas and OU, and then, 6-1.
So are we saying against the conference as a whole?
Teams in the conference.
Yes.
So BYU's got a record of now 6-3 against Texas and OU. That take that to the SEC.
Okay, but the Pac, okay, so we were talking the four conference. So even though the Pac-12 still has two teams, we're not counting them, correct?
No, we're not counting them.
Ah.
BYU's got a losing record against Utah, and they come over to the Big 12, so that's going to significantly impact that.
Yep.
The Big 10, I don't know the BYU's had it. Like, BYU beat Wisconsin. Yeah, I'm going to go with the SEC, weirdly, Jason, because of the Texas-Oklahoma element.
I think you're right.
It goes over there.
Yeah, in football, we've seen some of those games against ACC teams that haven't gone well. I will agree. I think, as crazy as that sounds, we'll say the SEC because Texas and Oklahoma are in that conference now.
Like Cal and Stanford in the ACC? I don't know. Okay, yeah, SEC, final
SEC
answer.
Is what
Colton,
we're going with.
SEC.
You are correct.
Yes.
The SEC, 14-11 all time with the additions of Texas.
There you go.
See?
There
them
you go.
Leaving did benefit BYU.
How do you even like categorize those things anymore? Because there's been so much shifting and realignment.
I know. It's crazy to think of all of the changes. And it honestly, we just when we think, it's not going to get any crazier, it's going to get crazier. Of course it is. Because why wouldn't it?
Which conference will become the first 20-team conference? Are we already there? No.
No.
The Big Ten has 18, right?
Yeah.
Which conference will become the first 20-team conference? We're headed for that.
Well, I thought Utah was going to the Big Ten.
Oh, the shade is thick. Let's get to today's headlines.
BYU football fall camp continues to roll on as we get closer to the first game. Yesterday, BYU football announced the dates, locations, and times for their 2024 BYU football road tailgates and the community service projects affiliated with each tailgate. You can find more info on BYUCougars.com.
Number three, women's soccer. Number three kicks off the season tonight at Southfield in a top 20 showdown against number 19 Wisconsin. The Badgers picked sixth in the Big Ten preseason poll. BYU picked to win the Big 12. The Cougars are clearly in a rebuilding mode. Both teams coming off strong seasons a year ago, no doubt. You can watch tonight's game 9 Eastern on ESPN+. More on this in the Whip.
Week two of the NFL preseason begins tonight. Former BYU linebacker Sione Takitaki and the Patriots will be playing the Philadelphia Eagles tonight in Foxborough.
BYU women's volleyball and their home matchup with Baylor on October 10th will be televised on FS1. The Big 12 announced that in conjunction with national television networks today. Hey, some love on the national platform for BYU women's volleyball.
And congrats to BYU basketball legend Greg Kite, who yesterday was named to the Texas High School Basketball Hall of Fame. Very cool.
Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip.
How much will tonight's game against number 19 Wisconsin impact your expectations for the BYU women's soccer season?
I think we're going to learn a lot, Jason. And this is a really good Wisconsin squad, top 20 team. I believe that BYU, and this is how preseason polls often work, they're riding the wave of just a magical season a year ago when they went to their second ever College Cup. But they are not what they were. But a lot of voters don't pay that much attention to the specifics of the comings and goings of the roster. So be patient with this team.
Yeah.
This is a rebuild. It's going to be a significant challenge for the women's team tonight. So I think we're going to learn more of what this team actually is against a top 20 caliber team. Yeah. And if they lose, they lose. But this is BYU is going to face one of the toughest schedules in the entire country, so get used to it.
And they do that every year. That's what Jen Rockwood wants. She wants to test her team. This is certainly going to be a test. And, you know, obviously finding where the scoring is going to come from, that's the biggest probably concern right now. But regardless of what happens tonight, I mean, the objective obviously is to always be better at the end of the season than you are at the beginning of the season. So regardless of what happens tonight, that can still be the goal.
Sure. I think a legitimate goal for BYU women's soccer this season should be to have a winning record, Jason.
And here's the thing. If BYU can score the first goal tonight, that could be a game changer in a matchup like this. It could, without them having scored a goal in the two exhibition games, if you get that early goal tonight, and it's like, okay, all right, now you start to get that confidence. And it's like, okay, we know how to do this. And then maybe you can go.
The one thing that I wish were happening is that school was back in and that the student section would be packed and there would be 4,000 plus at Southfield, because that can be an intimidating atmosphere. That certainly is a significant home field advantage for BYU. They don't have that tonight. It'll be a good crowd for BYU. There will be probably 2,500 to 3,000 people there. But the student section makes a difference. They don't have that.
I think they will be there. They were there for the exhibition game the other night.
You think?
No, it was full. I think the place is going to be full tonight.
All right.
I think it is.
Hey, 3,000 makes it look full.
Yeah.
I'm saying the 5,000 when they bring out those extra bleachers from the students on the behind the goals.
They had people in them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong. That was for Wyoming.
I hope I'm wrong. Let's go. Hey, Ross Dellinger reporting that the Group of Five conference commissioners are meeting next week to discuss different issues, including the potential of a reshaped G5 postseason incorporating the bowls. One commissioner suggested, quote, an NIT of football? What are your thoughts on this?
Isn't that what we already have? Isn't that every bowl that isn't a college football playoff bowl?
Kind of feels like that.
I mean, that's kind of what we've got now, right?
Yeah, but if they worked it into a tournament.
Now that's different, certainly.
Then it becomes truly like the NIT.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's there. Those that feel they are on the outside looking in are going to need to get creative, because the gap is not going to start getting smaller. It's going to start to get bigger. And so you're going to have to get creative, and this is certainly something that can do something like
Here's my thing. Just don't take away the one spot the Group of Five has in
Correct.
The current college
Correct.
Football playoff.
Yes.
Don't take that away.
Yep.
If you start your own tournament, whatever, and you want to do like a playoff thing for the Group of Five teams, that fine. But just don't remove the one spot, that one dark horse that is the best team from all of the Group of Five conferences combined. I think they still deserve a spot in the major college football playoff to go and prove, like,
Agreed.
Hey, we're just as good as all these other teams.
Agree 100%.
All right.
Yesterday, we discussed how J.J. McCarthy's injury might affect Jaren Hall's chances to make the Vikings' 53-man roster. Well, there was an update yesterday. The Vikings announced McCarthy out for the season. So does this guarantee Jaren will make the Vikings' final roster?
It's not a guarantee, but it sure feels like the Vikings need three quarterbacks, yeah. And it makes no sense to go out and get somebody else at this juncture. I mean, he's been in the franchise, with the franchise, and in that program for now a year and a half. You've invested in him. Like, why would you go get somebody to try and, like, now teach them the playbook? And you got to have three, Jason.
Yeah.
You need three quarterbacks in the NFL now. The way that this game is played, how volatile it is, I think that it's probably 85% to 90% chance that he makes the roster.
Yeah, they absolutely need three quarterbacks. I'm with you. He's been in the system for a year. Now the question is he going to be the backup to Darnold? Is he going to be the third string? I think the only thing that could maybe change this is if there is a quarterback that the Vikings are really, really high on that maybe gets cut, put on waivers that you just didn't expect. Maybe that's the scenario, but I'm with you. I think he's going to be on this roster, which is great for him.
That's why it's the 85%. Like, there is that scenario where if they like somebody else last minute and it's on all of a sudden available off of waiver wires, they grab that person, and that's tough luck for Jaren. But I think he's going to make the roster.
I do too, and good for him. He deserves it.
After the break, if you were drafting a BYU fantasy football team, who would you take with your number one overall pick? This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jason. If you missed the early part of our show, we drafted our 2024 BYU football fantasy teams for the season. And Jason had the first pick. You went with L.J. Martin, but your quarterback is Jake.
Jake Retzlaff. Retzlaff. Yes.
Okay.
Chase Roberts, my receiver, along with Cody Epps. Keanu Hill, my tight end. And then my flex player was Miles Davis.
I went with Gary Bohannon as my first overall pick at the quarterback position. My running back is Hinkley Rapati. Receivers, I believe, are off-the-radar budding stars. Darius Lassiter and Keelan Marion. Reiner Swanson, spring football MVP at tight end. And Parker Kingston in my flex spot. I said this during the break and off the air, Jason, but I'm going to bring it up. I think that your team, just from name brand value and like what they have already accomplished at BYU, I think you're going to get the edge here.
You want an update?
But I believe that my team, if we like legitimately put this to the test and put points to points, I think my team would win.
Why do you hate Jake Retzlaff, L.J. Martin, Chase Roberts, Cody Epps, Keanu Hill, and Miles Davis?
I'm just talking overall production.
Okay, well, here's the social team has put out the poll. You can vote on X, and the results so far are favoring my team with 69%.
Okay, there you go. 31% for my team. This is fun. Continue to vote on X right now. Do you think Jason had the better fantasy football draft or I had the better fantasy football draft? Jason had the first pick, of course. That makes a little bit of a difference. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. And you shocked me by taking a running back first. So that put me on my heels a little bit. But that's the beauty of it, right?
The beauty of the draft.
Our question of the day, if you were drafting a BYU fantasy football team, who would be your number one overall pick? Mason Croxall on Instagram says, Chase Roberts at number one. He's getting catches. He'll score. We don't know the quarterback yet.
Yeah. I feel like I have Mason's vote.
Because you have Chase on your team.
Because I have Chase on my team.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from Sam Emery 89, also on X, who says, always pick the number one running back if they're available. L.J. Martin all day. You have both of those guys.
Yes, I feel like I have their vote as well. Thank you for being part of that 69%.
I think you're ready for the Big Ten, Jason.
All right. BYU Athletics has announced an ambassador program for its official cruising with the Cougs. The ambassador program is free to join and easy to apply. Ambassadors can share a promo code and in return can earn exclusive BYU merchandise, onboard credits, and even a free cruise cabin on BYU Cruise, sailing in April of 2025. Visit byucruise.com to apply and for all of the details.
All right, after the break, Verizon shout out to New Beginnings. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation is on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps, or listen to the podcast. And while you're there, subscribe, rate, and review.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Women's soccer starting the season tonight. It begins the BYU athletic calendar year. So shout out to women's soccer, women's volleyball, and women's cross country for being elite for so many years running.
Said it a million times. BYU fans are super spoiled.
Yep.
With women's athletics, especially the fall sports. Our thanks to today's guest, former NFL and BYU linebacker, Brian Keel.
Conversation continues 24-7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows on demand at BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I am Spencer. Shout out to Henry Bloomfield. See you tomorrow for a Friday edition of BYUSN. Go Cougs!